broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. From a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio. WRJMLP, Cullman.
Good afternoon, Cullman. It's a Tuesday or a Thursday. We don't know around here, but it's 4 o'clock. And if it's 4 o'clock on a Tuesday or a Thursday, that means it's time for Sports Talk Live, Cullman's only sports talk program that's based right here in Cullman that is happening a couple of times a week. Brought to you in part by our friends at People's Bank. Here are your hosts for Sports Talk Live, Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Jay. Appreciate it.
Hey, everyone, if you paid attention to what Jay said, he said it's either Tuesday or Thursday, and the reason for that is my partner in crime, if you are listening to this on Thursday, is now at the beach having a great time, and so is Jay. So,
That's right. Living a good life.
Replaying. Somebody
sure, I hear the waves.
We are replaying the Tuesday show if you are listening to us on Thursday, but it's going to be pretty much the Thursday show, whichever day you listen to
us. On Tuesday. That's right.
Absolutely. So, hey.
A lot to cover today.
And you were gone last weekend.
That's right.
So that means talk faster, right?
That's it.
Okay.
Jason was in North Carolina last weekend.
I was not at the beach, though.
That's right. You were not at the beach.
We won't hold that against you, man.
You were moving furniture.
Pushing a paint roller. No, we didn't even get to move furniture.
Oh, I thought you were moving furniture.
There's little I hate to do worse than moving, but painting is it.
Number one, especially inside.
Oh, and it was inside.
Oh, it's horrible.
Crown molding, having to get up, and they had the arched ceilings and all the crown molding and all, and trying not to hit that. I did hit it once.
And you paint for an hour, and you moved about 3 feet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's awful.
Oh, man.
It is.
I was feeling good about it. We had all but one room painted.
Yeah.
And I told Tyler, I said, anything else? And he said, well, I said, if you want to go back to the bedroom and start putting a second coat on.
Nah.
And so we're at 5 o'clock then. So
man.
We ended up about 8 that night and then got up the next morning, hit it again.
Yeah.
Then got to do the wonderful drive home on Sunday.
So. That makes you, that's an enjoyable vacation. You'd rather be at the houses doing that,
for
sure.
Oh, I'd rather be home weed eating.
You'd rather be at my house, we did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody's house.
Hey, Jason, before we get started real well, you were out last week. So, real quickly, Jay,
Let me just say this.
Yes, go ahead.
I was perfect picks last week.
Were you? Okay, you got them all.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to tell you, on our high school picks last week, Jay was 4-3. I was 5-2. And on our college picks, we were both 5-2. Our college picks, we both missed the Georgia-Vandy game.
How did you miss that?
I know.
I
would imagine about 98% of the country missed that one. And then we also missed the Notre Dame game. But we got all the rest of them.
Oh, man, Notre Dame.
Be looking for a new coach.
You said that right. We're going to talk, when we talk with Dan today,
yeah.
I've got a little segment for you and him, coach's hot seats.
Yeah.
And I've got several named.
The seat's getting
warm or it's burning. So
there's several of them.
Besides.
And I tell you, of course, we don't keep up with Purdue very much at all, but they have fired their head coach and somebody, threw out their Les Miles going to Purdue. I was saying, that might be possible if there weren't going to be any other jobs open. I think there's going to be, heck, there may be as many as 10 jobs open this year.
Oh, yeah, very possible. Les Miles will have his pick, probably.
Yeah, he will. And, deservingly so.
And it will be coaching carousel. Because once one coach is hired from one school,
that's right.
They've got to replace it. Then they go hire from another school, and it just
that's it.
A vicious circle.
Fruit basket turnover.
Before the smaller schools then pull up a coordinator.
That's right.
To make a coach.
Absolutely. So, going to be a lot of turnover.
Ronnie, do you want to catch us up on what happened locally as far as our teams before? And, folks, we're going to hold on any calls until 4:30, and we're going to get our business took care of and then take calls and get our regular guest in today. So, hit it, Ronnie.
Yeah. Hey, Jason, again, I just briefly mentioned our records for our high school games last week, but I will give you the scores for last week and how they turned out in case someone has not heard. Cold Springs was defeated by Tanner 21-50. Cullman.
Whoa, 21-50.
I
have not heard that score.
Tanner beat Cold Springs 50-21.
Ouch.
Yeah. Cullman defeated Southside of Gadsden 56-35. Hayden beat Fairview 50-40. That sounds like a basketball score, doesn't it?
Yeah.
West Point all over Good Hope, 50-6. Locust Fork, I'm sorry, yeah, Hansville lost to Locust Fork. The score there was Hansville 35, Locust Fork 49. Vinemont was defeated by Susan Moore 35-21. So those were the local scores from, you know, this past week. This week, Jason, and we'll talk, you know, a little bit in a few minutes or a little later, whenever you want to, about this week's games. This is week number 9. So there's this Friday night plus one more, but this is the last week of region play. So
now everybody will end up at the same time, right?
Yes.
I know there were a different starting time, but that was because of a bye week.
That's right. If you chose, you know, depending, you got a bye week if you counted your first week's game as a regular season game. So, but yes, they will all finish up, not this coming Friday night, but the Friday following. But again, this Friday night will be the last week of region play. And when we get to that point, after Friday night's games, we will know who's going to make the playoffs and who is not. With some, we pretty much have a good idea right now, and we can get into that, you know, a little bit later or whenever you want to, Jason. But the one team, I'll quickly say this, the one team that is definitely in the playoffs is Cold Springs. No matter what happens in their region, in their game this week, they are in the playoffs.
So did it.
I don't give a shout out, Jason, before you.
Shout.
I know you have some things there you want to talk about.
We've got some Auburn talk that fits and come down.
I hear you. Hey, I want to give a shout out to Coach Tyler Hudson and the Good Hope Raiders, the middle school football team, as they won the county championship last night. We went over and watched them play, or for most of it, we watched it. We left only, I think, about the fourth quarter. It was kind of pretty much in hand by that time. But anyway, Good Hope Middle School football team defeated Hansville Middle School 38-6, which means they have won the county championship 4 out of the last 5 years.
Now, Vinemont defeated them last year.
Vinemont,
right?
Defeated them last year, and they won it again this year. So they won four out of the last 5. So,
all right. Now,
congratulations.
Staying on that subject, Ronnie,
okay.
And I know I don't even want you to say anything in this because of the position you hold in the county and been in education and many friends in education.
If you're telling me not to say anything, I won't.
When I tell you what I'm going to say, you'll agree with me.
All right.
My question is, and I know Coach Scott, just getting to Good Hope. I mean, let's don't even count him in the equation right now. What is going on at Good Hope High School? They win 4 out of 6, you say?
They won four out of the last 5.
Four out of the last five.
Oh, I don't mind.
And then they get to varsity.
Yeah.
And what's their record?
Well, they haven't won one so far this year.
What is the deal there?
Well,
and I'm not blaming any coaches.
No, I'm just saying,
what is the deal?
Well, I'll just be blatantly honest. Part of it, I'll give you a two-part answer. Part of it is, and I'm not blaming anybody. Everybody's got to do what's best, you know, for them and their family and whatever the situation may be. However, Good Hope, once several kids have finished their career at Good Hope Middle School, they have transferred.
Right.
They've left and gone to, you know, other places to play.
Other places to play, meaning Coleman.
Yeah. And, you know, and again, I'm not throwing stones at anybody, but I think, you know, they've lost several of their quarterbacks the last few years, all through middle school, who have gone, you know, into Coleman to play. And when you lose any school, regardless of your size, it's going to hurt when you lose some athletes. But when you take your, you know, your 2A's and your 3A's, and Good Hope right now is a 4A, but we know good and well they're not a 4A school. Come on, they're on the lower, at the very bottom of the 4A classification. Well, when you do that, I don't care, Jason, whether it's Class 7A or Class 1A. If you are at the bottom rung, those last 3 or 4 or 5 schools that just barely made 4A or 3A or 2A or 5 or 6, your chances of being competitive are very, very slim. It's obvious, and the region that Good Hope finds himself in right now is probably the strongest 4A region in the state. It's very difficult.
But, Ronnie, they're not even beating Coleman County teams.
True.
I think at this point, I hadn't thought about the Coleman situation.
Yeah. Well, and here's something else, and I agree with you that I think I don't know how many county schools they played Vimont and West Point. Those were the West Point game was not even close. The Vimont game was very, very close. Could have gone either way early in the season. But Jason, here's something else. And again, I'm not trying to dig a hole for myself, but when times get tough, it makes it much easier for kids to say, I don't want any more of this.
Right.
And you start losing kids. Hansville High School is going through exactly the same thing. Somebody told me now that they're down to, they've got about 17. Now, I don't know if that's correct or not. I just heard they've got about 17 kids.
Let's be clear, not blaming anybody for doing that.
No.
If you think that's the best thing for your kid, that is up to each parent. You do it.
Absolutely.
By all means.
Yeah, I'm not blaming anybody at all, but I would ask that you also take this into consideration when you start saying, well, you know, they're not getting it done, you know, blah, this, and all that kind of stuff. You got to remember, Good Hope High School, they only have played two county games, I believe. I'm not looking at their schedule. But the other games they're playing are region games, the Haleyvilles, the Hamiltons. I would beg to differ that if Good Hope Middle School was playing the same schedule as Good Hope High School, I don't know that the results would be exactly the same. They might be, but they may not be.
Why do they wait the high school, do you think? And why not go ahead and move the kid? If they're going to make the move, I mean, what's the advantage to waiting to high school? I guess just putting off the big move that you got to make. Yeah.
Because, well, one reason is you know that your middle school team is going to be is going to be good, and everybody wants to be a part of winning. You know, so those things are big to me. Is that it sometimes becomes difficult to keep some of your athletes at your school, and for whatever and a variety of reasons. And I'm not saying one's good and one's bad. I'm just saying these are the facts. For a variety of reasons, some kids leave one school and go to another, and then the teams that you're playing as a middle school is not the same teams that your high school team is playing on, you know, as a varsity team.
And talking about when the times get tough, Ronnie, it not only happens in junior high school, college.
That's right.
How about the NFL?
Absolutely, which leads you right into who you want to discuss for a few minutes.
Everybody that knows me knows that I am a huge.
You bleed orange and blue. But you do call
Cam
them out.
Newton, yeah. Cam Newton fans, but anybody that knows me knows I call it like I see it. Good,
right.
Bad, ugly.
Yeah.
Hey, here's my words. Cam Newton, it's time for you to grow up.
Absolutely.
He gets, after they are humiliated by the Saints are terrible.
Right.
Their defense, the Panthers' defense can't stop anybody.
They're Cam just a bad football
loafing. Oh, yeah, like you said it, they're bad.
They're bad.
They were 15-1 last year, and they're 1-5 right now.
Right. You know, and I'm sorry for interrupting, but, you know, when they were winning, they were 15-1 regular season. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Lost one regular season game, and all you heard was all the good things that Cam was doing, and he was giving balls to these kids and all that kind of stuff. And just like we've talked about before, like we came on the air. That's easy to do when you're 15-1.
Right.
It's easy to, you know, to be the role model or whatever, you know, for your club. But you also show your true colors when you're 1-5.
Yeah.
Or you get humiliated, you get beat in the Super Bowl.
What kind of message does it send to these kids? You know, you might excuse it one time, the Super Bowl, because of the noise going on behind it, whatever. Give him whatever.
Yeah.
But this two times?
Yeah.
And then the way he's dressing, and it's just a one-man show.
Yeah.
Well, it's all about Cam.
That's right.
It's not a team.
It's a circus.
Right. And, Jay, do you have that? We're going to play the press conference. Everybody listen to this. It's real quick and kind of hard to hear.
You have to listen close.
We'll talk about it.
This is disappointing. You've been in a while.
Next question.
This slow start, this has been a kind of characteristic of this team this year. Why do you think that keeps?
Just got to find ways to win football games.
After tying it up there late in the fourth quarter, how frustrating is it to be on the sideline helpless watching?
Next question.
Where
And what you don't see there, nothing. There's no sound. Cam just walks off the stage because...
Next question, Jeremy.
Question. Right. The last question was, how frustrating is it to be behind in the fourth quarter and to be on the sideline watching? The next reporter followed up with another question that I didn't hear, and Cam walks out.
Yeah.
I'm going to take my ball and go home.
Yeah, exactly.
Grow up, Cam.
I know this has happened before. I've watched that before, not necessarily with Cam, but, you know, there was one guy probably 2 or 3 years ago. He just stood up there, and basically the only reason he was even up there is because he was required to talk to the press. But he had no desire to talk to the press.
Yeah, that was somebody
from the
Seahawks.
That's not the case of any of them after you lose. Who wants to talk to the press after you lose?
But, however, you are a professional athlete, and you are being compensated extremely well.
Yeah.
Get up there and act like a man and answer the question.
Right.
Instead of acting like a spoiled 3-year-old.
I agree. And, it is what it is.
Yeah, you want to know why your team might be 1-5 or 1-6, whatever they are now? Look in the mirror, look at that press conference. You got to know he's got to act the same way in the clubhouse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Go back to the Super Bowl when he don't fall on the ball.
Yeah.
He looks at it
and
started to attempt it, but he's afraid his knee's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
They lose that game. So that's 1-5 this year, 1-6 their last 7 games.
Right. And he goes from Super Bowl MVP to, like you said, 1-6. He goes from Super Bowl MVP to acting as a child.
Right. Acting like a
as a child. You know,
I was saying something like near as nice as chopped.
But they're just, again, there's no excuse for it. Every weekend somebody wins a game and somebody loses a game. That's just that's not rocket science.
Hey, maybe I got it, Ronnie. Maybe Cam grew up playing where they didn't keep score.
That might be it. And everybody got a trophy.
Yeah, everybody gets a participation trophy, Sheila. If you're listening, everybody gets a trophy. And he didn't know how to lose.
That's right.
It's not his fault.
Of course, it's not going to be his fault.
It's going to be the authority's fault, coaches in his past.
That's right, the owner or the receivers. Oh, yeah. Somebody's not blocking for me.
But not only is that going on at Auburn.
Yeah.
Let's catch us up on Misery Part 3.
Misery Part 3.
If anybody has watched the movie Misery, a similar situation has went on at Auburn, according to the press. I'll read a little bit of this, and then...
Well, you know it's got to be true. You read it on the internet.
Oh, yeah. So. Now, this is actually news, and it has been on the Channel 6 or Channel 13 news.
Yeah. Well, part of it is true. Right. Some of this you don't know.
Yeah. This is the headline. Former Auburn coach Pat Dye denies he held man against his will after car crash. All right. Can
I interrupt you?
Yeah.
Now, please remember, Pat Dye and Jason, I looked it up a minute ago. He is now 76 years old.
Right.
Okay, he's not a spring chicken anymore.
No, he's not even a summer chicken.
No.
He was driving in Tuskegee, Macon County, where apparently he has some hunting property. He falls asleep, crosses the center line, and makes contact with a 66-year-old man driving the opposite direction. I have no idea how all this happened.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, the guy ends up at Pat Dye's house. The 66-year-old man he hit.
Supposedly.
Right.
This is the guy that got hit story that he ended up there. Okay.
He is taken to Pat Dye's house to have tea and rest, and who knows why he would have took him, but supposedly he went. And then, according to this, and according to this man's lawsuit, Pat Dye held the man against his will. Now, the first thing I know, Ronnie and I talked about it too, was there alcohol, drugs involved?
Yeah.
According to this report, there wasn't.
Now, and Jason, the police were called to the scene.
Right.
It wasn't the accident and Pat Dye grabs a hold of him and throws him in his vehicle.
Sticks a gun to his head.
Yeah, speeds off. Okay.
Right.
So the police came and did a report, right?
Right.
Okay.
And it was 12:40 p.m., so the middle of the day, not a late night thing.
Okay, I didn't know the time.
But the suit claims McCoy suffered serious injuries, which caused him great physical pain and mental anguish. The suit goes on to say he was permanently injured and will be caused in the future to expend large sums of money in the nature of doctor, hospital, drug, and other medical expenses
in and out an effort to heal and cure said injuries.
That sounds like kind of like when Otis sued Andy and Bernie, wasn't it? For $5,000 because he fell.
Let me read what Pat Dye has been sued. It's on here somewhere, but he is being sued for the accident. Here it is. He is accused of wanton, whatever that is, wanton. Jay, you know the definition of that one?
What's it? How's it spelled?
W-A-N-T-O-N.
I don't know.
Reckless conduct, violation of rules of the road, and holding a person against their will. So,
and he's
in other words, kidnapped.
Kidnapping. So he's being, they're suing him potentially for millions because of this.
Yeah, the amount's not named in the
injuries from the accident. But the police come and write a report and they don't call an ambulance to come home.
No ambulance was called.
No, nothing.
But I guess he suffered all those injuries when he was chained to the bed at Pat Dye's house. And he was taking the sledgehammer.
He was probably an Alabama fan. Maybe had an Alabama tag.
Next week on Criminal Minds.
That's right. And he made him dress in Auburn blue and orange, and the guy is now, you know, mentally.
You think it could have been, what's his name, that burned the trees?
Harvey Updike.
Yeah, you think it could have been him?
Well, now, you know, if he captured Harvey Updike and held him for a few days, I think Dye should be applauded for that.
Dye goes on to say that he just got sleepy, fell asleep, crossed the line, and said he was giving McCoy a ride home, the guy he hit, and doesn't recall whether McCoy was at his property. I've just now read this. How do you not recall if somebody's at your property?
Pat Dye said he doesn't remember if McCoy was at his property.
This article says, and doesn't recall whether McCoy was at his property. He might have been there for about 2 minutes, he said.
That's kind of weird.
Now, Ray, if me and you have a wreck, I'm going to remember if I take you to my property or not.
Yeah. That's kind of odd.
He said that he was very nice and cooperative, and I guess some lawyer got a hold of him, he said, and they think that I have money, but I don't, and that is a lie.
That is a lie.
Guys, it's time to shut the radio station down. I mean, this is reasons why you do not want to be a celebrity.
Right.
Nobody wants to know who any of us are.
Oh, my goodness. So.
But, you know, not only Pat Dye, anybody these days, if you bump somebody, get ready.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you've got a company name on the side of your truck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I bumped a man in Montgomery. Promise you, it did not do. He had one of the old steel bumpers on his truck. It put
you
a little hole
in
my Avalanche in the front, the bumper guard. Did not put a scratch on his truck. I said, if you don't want to call the police, I'm fine with it. Mine's messed up. You're not. Oh, no, he wants to call the police. Well, then he has whiplash. he has nerve problems.
Yeah.
And ends up, he sued for, I think, $100,000, $150,000, something like that, which was cheap, according to what everybody else does.
Uh-huh.
But he ended up settling for $12,000. And the insurance company paid him without ever
blinking an eye. Mm-mm. Didn't want to deal with it.
Yep. So easy to write that check.
Absolutely. So I would say maybe the Pat Dye situation has...
he'll get a check and it'll go away.
That's exactly right. He'll get a check and go away. But
during the next break, I'm going to bring y'all some extra pillows, maybe some blankets.
Easy, Jay.
Well, hey, at least he didn't get his legs broke with a sledgehammer.
That's
you
right.
Know? Kathy Bates, if it had been her, she'd have tore his head up.
Oh, yeah. All right, 4:25 means it's time for a break. We'll be right back. Talk Sports Talk Live and what's coming up this weekend. Stay with us.
This is the new voice of Live 95.5 from the popular Facebook page, What's Happening in Coleman, bringing you the Downtown Grill on 4th Street, where one of our many appetizers is waiting for you today. like homemade onion rings, fried dill pickles, potato skins, and more, we also have a large selection from our salad menu to Coleman's Best Hot Wings, from traditional to boneless wings. We also have party packs from 50 to 100 pieces. At the Downtown Grill, we will even let you build your own burger or enjoy one of our classic sandwiches, chicken, shrimp, or crawfish baskets, or our gourmet hot dogs. You can't leave without having a delicious dessert of fried Twinkies, strawberry shortcakes, or fried Oreos. For the best comfort food in Coleman, the Downtown Grill is ready to serve you.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Did you know that you can save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill? Since 2004, Cyber Broadband has been known across Coleman County as the only provider to bring broadband internet access to rural areas not served by cable or telephone providers, and all without those pesky data caps. Now Cyber Broadband, which is a locally owned and operated company, is introducing a competitive broadband product, Cyber Next Gen DSL, available through Cyber Broadband for on average 10% less than the other providers. Get those cyber benefits, like a $10 referral discount for anyone else that you refer to the service, or bundle with the Cyber Broadband cellular service. Save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill today. More information is available at cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Not available in all areas. Generally, if you signed up for broadband service through another company and their promotional discount has expired, Cyber's retail price will be 10% less than the competition standard pricing or better. Chances are, if you don't qualify for the phone company's DSL, you won't qualify for Cyber's next-gen DSL service either, but you may still qualify for Cyber Broadband's radio service. More information is available at www.cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Woo, it's tough work, but somebody's got to do it.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
I want to welcome everybody back to Sports Talk Live. Kudos to the federal government for doing your emergency alert test during our commercial break and not interrupting our sports show. Thanks again to People's Bank for helping to make the radio station and Sports Talk Live possible. And thanks for Jason and Ronnie for coming in and volunteering your time. Go ahead, guys.
All right, back with you. We've covered Pat Dye, we've covered Cam Newton, and we're going to cover Alabama, cover Auburn. Boy, Ronnie, let me just say this. Alabama, Saturday. Nobody short of the Dallas Cowboys will beat Alabama if they play like that.
I tell you what, it was impressive. You know, I don't know if it means, you know, that, well, they were that good on that day. Now, granted, we talked a little bit, Jason, also, and we'll get more into it a little bit later. But, you know, Tennessee had played, you know, they'd had games 2 or 3 weeks prior and some difficult, challenging football games. They had 7 or 8 starters who were out. Did not play at all against Alabama, which certainly does not help, you know, help their cause. But as you said, even if they've got all of them healthy and playing, they're just overmatched.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's, you know, Tennessee is
men and boys.
Yes, Tennessee is better. We got to give them credit. They are a better football team than they have been. However, they are not to the point where they can go nose to nose with Alabama yet. And, you know, I think you agree with me when we talk about it. I don't think there's really anybody as of right now, and, you know, come next Tuesday, I may be eating my words, but I don't know if anybody right now can go nose to nose with Alabama if they're playing up to their capability.
And let me say this, Ronnie. People enjoy it. Alabama fans savor the moment because you are experiencing something I don't think you will ever experience again.
Oh, absolutely not.
With what Nick Saban has done at the University of Alabama is unbelievable. I mean, it's just reload, reload, reload. And honestly, Alabama's second string would be more teams in the nation than they wouldn't.
Yeah. If Alabama's second team was in the East, it would be Alabama's first string against Alabama's second string for the SEC championship.
Yeah. It's, oh, man. Hey, and we'll do this and then let you go over the local stuff. The Florida LSU game has worked out, and tell me how in the heck they got away with that one.
Well, you know, I asked some folks about how LSU was able to pull that off as far as being able to play at home, because it was supposed to be a road game.
Right.
And someone told me, they said, LSU said, you had ample opportunity to have played this at a different time, at a different location in Florida, and you chose not to. And we are not going to give up a home game in our city, the revenue, and whatever else to play on the road. I mean, they basically drew the line in the sand and said, we are not going to give up the revenue from the home game that we're going to have to, you know, cancel. So... You know, because
do you think the SEC cut Florida a check to make up some of the difference for their home game? I mean, that's a ton of cash.
It is a ton of cash. But see, it could have happened. I don't know. But here's how LSU kind of also has Florida over the barrel, because LSU is probably out of the SEC race in the West. Okay, Florida is not out of the SEC race. Right. They have a legitimate chance to be the East representative. So they're going to, it ends up where they basically have to go alone because they've got to get the game in.
Right.
Because they still have a great chance, again, of being in the championship game again.
Oh, yeah. After this, let me just say this to any Georgia Bulldog fans.
You might, like I was saying, you might want to stay on the porch.
Oh, I'm telling them Bulldogs.
Did you?
Vanderbilt takes down Georgia.
I mean, no, I didn't. I don't know that anybody could have seen that coming at all. Well, and I think that was Derek Mason's first road SEC win.
Wow.
I may be wrong.
And you know that's burning Kirby Smart.
Oh, my goodness.
And Georgia fans now are wondering, what did we do?
Of course they are. There's Mark Rick, who's having a really nice year at Miami. I think they're ranked about 16th. They were up to 10th, and then Florida State beat them, you know, by 1 point. So, some people are probably saying, oh, my goodness, what have we done, you know? Because the grass ain't always greener on the other side.
No. That's for sure. All right, Ronnie, catch us up.
Yeah, on the high school stuff, Jason, for this week, again, this is the last week of region play. And we'll first start with Cullman, because theirs is a little bit more difficult situation than some of the other schools. You've got Cullman, Albertville, and Pell City all that are sitting at 2-3, which means you got three teams tied for second behind Oxford. Oxford is 6-0 in the region. The Bearcats come and they play at Brewer this week. Albertville plays Southside, and Pell City goes to Fort Payne. You know, there's a lot of things that's got to happen, but one thing that really has to happen is Cullman needs a win, Albertville needs to lose, and if that happens, then the Bearcats will move into numbers 2 spot in the region. So they've got to win, and Albertville's got to lose. They would be 4-2, and Albertville would drop to 3-3 with a tiebreaker to Southside, and Cullman has beaten them. So for Cullman to get the number 2 slot in the region, they've got to win this weekend at Brewer, and they should. They should beat Brewer. And then, once again, Albertville needs to lose to Southside of Gadsden. So one way or another, Cullman's going to be in the playoffs. You just don't know in what position. Are they going to be playing at home that first round, or are they going to be, you know, on the road? So we would just have to, you know, we just have to wait and see there. Cove Springs, They have to win or has to win next week at Cleveland to get the runner-up spot. That I think they will do that. They're 4-1 right now. Tanner has not lost a Reason game yet. So Cuomo is still sitting in good position to be the runner-up with a win over Cleveland. So I think they'll get that done. West Point, they control their destiny. They're third in 5A Region 6. A win at home against Curry gives them a record of 4-2 with Mortimer Jordan and Hayden to play next week to determine the region championship. So West Point's going to good for them. They're going to make it into the playoffs. Holly Pond's in the same situation. If they win, they're in. And the Holly Pond Broncos, they play Vinemont Friday night. They have a tiebreaker over Susan Moore, who's 2-3 in the region. And Susan Moore heads to J.B. Pennington. And Susan Moore is probably going to lose that game to J.B. Pennington. So things look pretty good for Holly Pond getting into, being able to get into the playoffs.
Am I right? Holly Pond, Vinemont, Huntsville, all in the same region.
Yeah, right? They're all in the same region. That's right. Vinemont is basically out. Huntsville's out. Our only county team in Class 3 that has a chance to be in the playoffs is Holly Pond. And I'm pretty confident that they're going to get into the playoffs.
And I'm proud for Holly Pond after what they've experienced.
Absolutely. They deserve to have they deserve to have a good season. It's good for the community, good for the school, good for the student body. So good for their coaches because, it's tough. I mean, right. It's tough week in and week out when you get your brains back.
36 games in a row without a win.
That's exactly right. And you got to respect coaches for that, and you also got to respect players who stay out there keep taking it. You know, and know if I just continue to work and continue to do it the right way, it will eventually turn around. And that's kind of the situation, that Good Hope finds himself in right now. They are certainly out of the playoffs. They played Dora this weekend at Good Hope. The Raiders are 0-5 in their area, 0-5 overall. Doors 3-5. They're 1-4 in Class 4A Region 6. So I really hope Good Hope can turn that around and get a win for their kids and get a win for their coaches and community, because it's tough. I mean, it's hard and it's easy to start pointing fingers when things don't go well. Yeah. But if folks just back up, take a broader view or look at this thing. Yes, you've got some younger kids there. Even honestly, they're varsity right now because they've had so many hurt and several to quit. They're really playing a JV schedule. Most of the kids they got out there playing right now on Friday night are 10th graders.
A lot of difference in a 10th and a 12th grader.
You better believe it. A lot of 10th graders that are playing. So be patient. That's hard to do. I understand that. Been on both sides of it. Just be patient. Those things will turn around, and they'll be better for it. And from a parent standpoint, you're not going to find better people to be around your kids than an Alan Scott and a Taft Dillashaw and the other coaches there. So there's more to it than wins and losses, because wins and losses they normally will take care of themselves.
Yeah.
But
give me a win, give me a loss, but after it's all said and done, give me a man.
That's exactly right. Absolutely. You got that right.
All right. 4:39. We'll take a quick break. 4:40 coming up, and about 20 minutes away from Dan the Man.
Dan Vosta. That's right.
Campus Insider. Sports Talk Live, 95.5. Coleman.
Got a little bit of time to call if you want. 256-737. Did I get it right this time? 9505. 256-737-9505. We'll be right back.
Hey, guys. Let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
This is Big D, the new voice of Live 95.5 from the popular Facebook page, What's Happening in Coleman, bringing you the Downtown Grill on 4th Street, where one of our many appetizers is waiting for you today. Like homemade onion rings, fried dill pickles, potato skins, and more,
We also have a large selection from our salad menu to Coleman's Best Hot Wings, from traditional to boneless wings. We also have party packs from 50 to 100 pieces. At the Downtown Grill, we will even let you build your own burger or enjoy one of our classic sandwiches, chicken, shrimp, or crawfish baskets, or our gourmet hot dogs. You can't leave without having a delicious dessert of fried Twinkies, strawberry shortcakes, or fried Oreos. For the best comfort food in Coleman, the Downtown Grill is ready to serve you.
Did you know that you can save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill? Since 2004, Cyber Broadband has been known across Coleman County as the only provider to bring broadband internet access to rural areas not served by cable or telephone providers, and all without those pesky data caps. Now, Cyber Broadband, which is a locally owned and operated company, is introducing a competitive broadband product, Cyber Next Gen DSL, available through Cyber Broadband for on average 10% less than the other providers. Get those cyber benefits, like a $10 referral discount for anyone else that you refer to the service, or bundle with the Cyber Broadband cellular service. Save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill today. More information is available at cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Not available in all areas. Generally, if you sign up for broadband service through another company and their promotional discount has expired, Cyber's retail price will be 10% less than the competition standard pricing or better. Chances are, if you don't qualify for the phone company's DSL, you won't qualify for Cyber's next-gen DSL service either, but you may still qualify for Cyber Broadband's radio service. More information is available at www.cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Woo, it's tough work, but somebody's got to do it.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
All right, I'm telling you, 4:43, and we are missing our caller of the day, Jeffrey.
Wow, what has happened to him?
I don't know.
Pat Dye.
Yeah, that's it.
Pat Dye has abducted Jeffrey Sullivan.
Florida State 1-1, and so he is out partying.
That's what
right
he's doing.
Now, so.
At Pat Dye's
hey,
place.
Hey, let me talk about winning one, and we're going to talk to Dan about this also. What about how lucky can you get if you're a Clemson Tiger?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, it's a straight-on basically extra point.
Yeah.
And miss.
And they didn't just miss one.
Right.
Through the course of the game, they missed three field goals.
I really believe, probably not in a game setting, but me or you, if they let us out there by ourselves,
yeah,
could kick that field goal.
Yeah.
I don't know how he missed it.
I don't know either.
It would have been hard if he tried to miss it on purpose.
Yeah.
It would have been hard.
But you know, Jason, they're still undefeated. They're certainly in the hunt to get in the playoff picture. Those are the kind of things that you need to happen.
Right.
Maybe not to that degree, but
just like Auburn,
that's
when they
right.
went the last time.
That's right. You've got to have breaks like that, you know, to get to those playoffs and get to those.
Unless you're
breaks,
Alabama.
Unless you're Alabama. To this point, they don't need any breaks.
I know you're trying to be conservative being an Alabama fan, but I really don't see them needing any breaks. This may be, if they play like they played Saturday, this may be the best Alabama team I've seen.
I was going to ask you, basically that question was, if they were, you know, going and winning a national championship, or is this the best team Nick Saban has ever had at Alabama?
I believe it may be the best team Alabama's ever had.
Ever had.
Because Sure, Alabama's had the defense year in, year out. They're good defense. They've never had an offense like they've got now.
And that's attributed to Jalen Hurts. Well, you know, I know you have some.
Yeah, I don't really like.
You don't really care for him.
My haircut, kid.
But he gives them a dimension that they have not had in, I don't know how many years. The last true, and if someone knows this, please give us a call and clue us in here, 737-9505. The last running quarterback, good running quarterback I remember at Alabama was Walter Lewis.
Yep.
And that goes way back. Now, Tyler Watts comes to your mind, but
and
Tyler
you
got to
bring up a man, a cocky man by the name of Lane Kiffin.
Oh, you got to.
Alabama's still playing 3 yards.
Yeah,
Clyde Dust,
they're not as productive, nowhere near. So you, I mean, whether you like him, you love him, you hate him, you have to give the guy credit for what he has done year after year after year with the offense from Alabama. And there's times in the game that I'm just. Want to throw something at the TV because, I don't understand. Why are you running what you're running? Why are you? What's the deal with that play selection? But, good grief, they're averaging, 45, 46 points
a
game.
You and I talked about it the other night. We can't understand why these coaches don't listen to us.
I know it. I mean, if they want to have
running, I send texts back and forth about the play and what they should have done.
That's right.
They should have done this, should have done that, but nobody's listening.
They don't.
To us.
Nobody.
They don't need y'all guys. Have you not noticed how he can tell the future? I mean, he'll give the touchdown symbol 60 yards before he's in the end zone.
If he sees it's the right play call and he's got the right matchups, he calls it ahead of time. But I think you're right, Jason. It potentially is. Certainly is the best team I'll say that they've had with Nick Saban. You say maybe the best team that's ever been there. They're
you,
just
can
complete.
You think of one
no,
better?
I really can't. I mean, they're just not a weakness. If they have a weakness, it's their offensive line. And my gosh, how can that truly be a weakness when you're putting up 45, 48 points and you ran the ball for over 400 yards against Tennessee? And
beat the offensive line, get back here to rush the quarterback or blitz the quarterback,
right.
And then he's going to take off up the
That's
middle
right.
or beat you to the edge.
Absolutely. And he looks completely effortless when he runs.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying they said he was 4.65. I mean, that's quick. There's people out there that's faster, certainly. But
is it too early to start discussing Iron Bowl? I mean, should we go and get to the whole season first? Or
yeah, we'll have to wait on that.
Yeah, we'll wait to that week.
That
there's
that,
not a lot to discuss right now.
That might be a better game than people think. Hey, Jason, a couple things here. I saw this. These are kind of some awards, silly awards for the first half of the season. I'm gonna see if you know any of these.
Throw them out.
Don't expect you to. You might know this first.
I'll take a guess at it.
Yeah, best all around football team first half of the season.
Alabama.
Of course.
That is silly.
This one you won't know. The most versatile football team.
The most versatile football team is...
If you get that right, I'll give you $100.
$100, folks.
If you get it
right here. The most versatile football team is... The Houston Cougars.
No, that's a good guess. The Washington Huskies.
Oh, man, I should have got it.
Most dramatic football team.
Tennessee.
Absolutely. You're 2 for 3. Biggest surprise of this football season, a particular school. Biggest surprise.
It would be Texas A&M.
Well, that's not it.
Oh. Right, who is it?
Chris would probably like this one, Colorado.
Colorado.
You remember?
Yeah.
He's been giving Colorado a whole lot of love. This one you'll probably get. Biggest disappointment so far.
To me, would be Florida State.
No. Michigan State. Yes.
Yeah.
They're 2-4.
Yeah, but I don't give up Michigan State.
Well, that's right. All right, here's the last one. Most likely to succeed, and let me tell you, it is not Alabama. Most likely to succeed. Basically, they're saying they have the best chance to win their conference.
Ohio State.
Wrong. Clemson.
Clemson, no.
It's what they're saying. Most likely to succeed, Clemson.
They don't play anybody out of the other side for the championship.
That's right. So. They are saying they have a 71% chance of winning their conference. Alabama has a 57% chance of winning.
Smoke it.
Washington, 51%. Get this one. Michigan, 46%. Ohio State, 39% chance to win their conference.
And Ronnie, that brings me to something else.
Yeah.
Those numbers. The Football Power Index put out by ESPN does a thing just like what you just read.
Yeah.
Have you saw it? Auburn this weekend has an 85% chance, according to that, of beating Arkansas.
85%.
Now, I've seen Come Arkansas on. And I've seen Auburn. How does Arkansas only have a 15% chance of winning that game? Auburn's been made a 10-point favorite in this game.
For entertainment purposes only, it'd be hard to turn down Arkansas.
It's already been hard for me, and I didn't turn them down. I'm on Arkansas like a hobo on a bologna sandwich.
Well, that, you know, that pretty much explains itself. But, you know, Arkansas just, yeah, Alabama destroyed them, but take that out of the picture. Arkansas came back and beat Ole Miss. Ole Miss played Alabama's tail off. They beat them by, wasn't it, 48-43, something like that.
And with the exception of one year that I remember, and I was at that game, Auburn has struggled with Arkansas or lost to Arkansas.
Yeah.
So.
And I can see how people will struggle against Arkansas. I mean, they're very physical. I know those guys know more about it than I do.
85%.
But for entertainment purposes only, in a 10-point spread, I mean, is that being based on how they just destroyed, you know, Auburn? They were off last
State.
I'm sorry. Yeah, thanks. Mississippi State?
Got to be.
But then Mississippi State goes and they lose again.
Yeah, to BYU.
Yeah. So what is there to hang your
I don't know.
What is there to hang your hat on beating Mississippi State?
I mean,
that can be said for everybody. You know, every team, you know, hang your hat on beating somebody. And
you know, before Arkansas beat Ole Miss, I might have said, okay, Arkansas only win really worth mentioning was TCU. But Ole Miss, a good football team, and Arkansas got them. So, hey, folks, if you are in an entertainment purpose only driven,
yes.
This could be your weekend.
Well, you very well could be. I just don't see that. And then Alabama, I think Alabama's a what? 16.5, 17 point favorite over Texas A&M. I mean, geez, Texas A&M's undefeated. They're ranked 6 in the country. They're 6-0, and Alabama's going to beat them by 17.
And really,
but I said the same thing against Tennessee.
And I took Alabama last week, and I'm taking them this week.
Are you? Okay.
And I don't know what the number will be, but I will probably take the under on Texas A&M. So.
The under on Texas A&M. I got you. Hey, Jason, we've got about 2 minutes here before we go to a break. Quick, and then we got Dan's going to be on the phone with us. Let me run through quickly, if I have time, our top 25 poll this week. Of course, some teams were off last week. Auburn, maybe it didn't, you know, their ranking didn't change. We'll see. At number 25, LSU, 24, Navy, 23, Ole Miss, 22, North Carolina, 21, Auburn. Is that where they were?
No, they moved up two spots.
They moved up two spots, okay. At 20 is Western Michigan, 19 is Utah, 18 is Tennessee, 17, Arkansas, they're 5-2. At 16 is Oklahoma, 15, Florida, they're 5-1. That's another reason LSU had them over the barrel and basically forced them to play at their place. 14, Boise State. 13, Florida State. 12, West Virginia. 11, Houston. Houston can forget it, can't they, after they got beat by Navy.
Yeah, it's over with.
It's over for Houston. They have no chance to get the playoff. Number 10 is Wisconsin. That was a good football game if you got to see Wisconsin and Ohio State.
I didn't see
that. Wisconsin played Ohio State's tail off and could have easily won the football game. Number 9 is Baylor. Number 8, the team that nobody knows anything about, Nebraska. Number 7 is Louisville. Number 6, Texas A&M. 5 is Washington. 4, Clemson. 3, Michigan. 2, Ohio State. And number 1 again this week is Alabama Crimson Tide. So that's the AP top 25. So it is now time for a break. Stay with us. We've got Mr. Dan Vosta from Campus Insider joining us shortly. Here we are at 4:54. Sports Talk Live 95.5 coming.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network. ARN News is provided as a service of Cullman Regional Medical Center. You don't have to go vegan or take up yoga to improve your health. You can store some healthy snacks at work, like almonds or mandarin oranges. Read nutrition labels, wash your hands frequently, and stick to a regular sleep schedule. Staying healthy isn't one choice. It's a lot of little ones. That's why, at Cullman Regional, we offer so many. For info on free screenings, to find your doctor, and more, you can visit CullmanRegional.com/healthy. Cullman Regional. Live exceptional.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. A man accused of intentionally killing his toddler son by leaving him in a hot car to die, shedding tears in a Georgia courtroom. Tuscaloosa native Justin Ross Harris wept when Cobb County Medical Examiner Brian Frist described the final hours of his son Cooper. Frist testified that given the temperatures that day in June 2014, the toddler's death would have been prolonged. He calls it agonizing. Harris's lawyers call the death accidental. Harris faces life in prison if convicted. An overturned tractor trailer rig blamed for taking down several power lines in Baldwin County. State troopers say it happened on Highway 59 North at Dixie Landing Road. It was completely blocked by downed power lines for hours. In Georgiana, Police Chief David Scruggs has resigned for officers not showing up for work in support of him. Scruggs quit after dispute with the mayor's office. Currently, two Butler County deputies have taken up patrols in that South Alabama town. I'm Angie Norfell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Former U.S. Attorney General Edwin Meese urging the U.S. Supreme Court to hear the case of an Alabama death row inmate he says could very likely be innocent. Meese filing a brief on behalf of Bill Quinzel, who was convicted of killing a store clerk in Sylacauga. Linda Jean Offer died in 1987 during a robbery. Quinzel's attorney argues prosecutors withheld evidence that would have cast doubt on witness and plea deal testimony. However, his defense missed a deadline to raise new evidence claims. Meese's lawyers wrote the state rule ordinarily deserves deference, but that there were basic notions of fairness at issue. Heroin overdoses on the rise in Gadsden. City Fire Department says in the last week they answered 20 OD calls, 8 in one day alone. Fire Chief says they're running out of the drug that treats overdoses. And three people are busted in Boaz, men holding 18 grams of methamphetamine and marijuana. They're being held in the Etowah County Detention Center. The trio picked up during a traffic stop. I'm Angie Norfell. This is ARN. In sports, Alabama preps to take on Texas A&M Saturday. Aggies quarterback Trevor Knight is mobile, but Tide defensive lineman Dalvin Tomlinson says so is Tide quarterback Jalen Hurts.
Up front, we need to collapse the pocket as much as we can, affect the quarterback, bat some balls down, and just affect the quarterback throughout the whole game.
The Tide defense leads the nation with touchdowns scored by non-offense players. Auburn head coach Gus Malzahn says sophomore Kerryon Johnson participated in today's practice. Fans worried about the team's leading rusher's status after rolling his ankle October 8th in the game against Mississippi State. Johnson's had 105 carries for 538 yards and 6 touchdowns this season. Number 21 Auburn hosts number 17 Arkansas Saturday at Jordan-Hare. Following Colin Kaepernick's kneeling during the national anthem, many sports teams following suit. At Auburn University, head coach of the men's basketball team, Bruce Pearl, says his team has decided to stand during the national anthem and find another way to protest. Angie Norfell, ARN Sports.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio, from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Cullman.
/4:59, and you are listening to us either on a Tuesday or a Thursday afternoon.
That's right.
Regardless, this show, if you're listening to us on Thursday, is pre-recorded, so no need to call. But right now, we've got the caller, and uh-oh.
We have him.
He gone.
He has been kidnapped by Pat Dye.
I guess we'll get him back. Hang on.
But Pat Dye is... And let's see, it's Jeffrey Sullins. That's the other one he's got right now.
Yeah, he may have them all tied
up. Jeffrey and Dan.
But if you're listening to us on Thursday, once again, Ronnie is at the beach. Jay is at the beach and Jason is at work.
That's the way it ought to be.
Yeah.
Somebody ought to have to work.
But we'll be back Tuesday to resume the regular programming. And I think he's got Dan on the line now.
I think he has.
Jay, just let us know when we are a go. All right. Dan, are you with us?
Yes, sir. I can hear you.
All right. Welcome back, Dan. Welcome to Sports Talk Live.
Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Dan. How are you, man?
Doing great. Happy Thursday to you.
Yeah, same to you. Hey, I got a question right off the bat before Jason has some for you. Well, give us your thoughts on Vandy and Georgia, and was this the biggest upset so far of the college football season?
I think so. I mean, you mentioned what Georgia's kind of been struggling the last couple of weeks. Offensively, it's been very vanilla. Haven't been able to run the ball well. And their passing game, really, since Aaron Murray's left, has just been atrocious. And I think we were due to watch Vanderbilt fall off an upset. I thought it was going to be against Auburn this year. But we saw them this past week in between the hedges in Athens fall off a great upset. Now they got a great chance to go bowling. And all of a sudden, Kirby Smart now is under a little pressure. He'd like to finish there on a strong note before it's a tough season.
Boy, you know the Georgia fans are questioning themselves.
Oh, don't you know?
Hey, Dan, let's talk about some team in our state that, man, it just looks like a machine as they dismantle Tennessee in every phase of the game. Were you at all surprised about this game and how the outcome was?
You know, but a little bit. I think I was just, you know, surprised to see, you know, not so much Tennessee struggle in the first half, but certainly to see Alabama's, you know, put a beat down on the Vols. Complete game. They're playing a lot like maybe the 2000 Ravens, maybe the 85 Bears. So much not offensive touchdowns. What is it, 11 straight or 11 this season? Very surprising, I think. Just not so much to see the complete game, but just to dominate. Sure, Tennessee, I thought, you know, could have been a little bit more competitive, but they've been down the last couple of weeks, losing a lot of players, and it was just a complete game, and finally caught up with Tennessee, it certainly looked like. And that's what many were pointing to. I didn't think we'd see that. I thought Bama was going to lose one game this year, but with the way they're playing, the contrary looks like it's going to happen right now.
Right, I have to agree. And as you said, Tennessee, a little down, had 7 to 8 players unable to play in Saturday's game. But, man, even if they were at full strength, do you agree with me that Alabama still wins this one in pretty much the same fashion?
Yeah, I think so, at least by a couple touchdowns. I mean, maybe it wouldn't have been a 40-point near blowout, but at least a 2 to 3, I think, touchdown performance. I mean, you can make a case that outside of maybe Clemson and Ohio State, they deserve Alabama on paper in the desert, and the experts probably have them favored by double digits. I think those are the two teams, Buckeyes and Clemson, that maybe got a great chance to, you know, hang with them and maybe upset them. But right now, neutral field, give me Bama 10 plus against anybody, right, at least in the country for college. Maybe if you're talking some NFL teams, that's where it changes a little bit.
Hey, Dan, staying with Alabama for just a couple of questions here. They host Texas A&M this weekend, and they're 16.5 or 17-point favorites, something like that. How do you see the game playing out, number one? And is there a team in Texas that can beat Alabama other than the Cowboys?
I don't think so, not that state. But I think, you know, it's a game of the week, and you don't see this a game of the week where it's almost a 3-touchdown deficit. But I do think that, you know, it's worthy. I think the Aggies can potentially cover. It seems every time I think it's going to be a close game, Bama wins in a rout. But I think this is like a 38-24 type of game where I think the Aggies will spread Alabama out, try to do what Tennessee could not with more of their speedy receivers and weapons. They got maybe the best true freshman running back in the country in Travion Williams, averaging over 8 yards per carry. And Trevor Knight's got 9 touchdowns just on the ground. And the Aggies do have a chunk of yards, but they're arguably the best team in the country in red zone defense, not named Alabama. So I really do believe on paper A&M, you know, can make a case they're a top 6 team right now, and I think they can keep it close. But I think playing at home, the Tide got at least a 2-touchdown edge advantage. And I think just their balance overall, it's been unstoppable, and as we know, it continues every week a non-offensive touchdown. So 38-24 type of ball game where I think you'll see a little bit more competition this week.
Okay. Hey, Dan, you're talking about their defense. Have you ever seen a defensive squad that's able to score as many points as the Alabama team this year? I mean, they have more offensive touchdowns than several, you know, teams do.
Yeah, it's certainly been remarkable to watch. I think it's just a matter of how long can they keep this up for, because you mentioned the teams that the schedule's only getting tougher in their division. So it's just a matter of can they keep this going against the likes of an LSU. They've already gotten by Ole Miss, but this weekend with A&M before you get to the Iron Bowl. It really has its 85 Bears caliber where they're that dominant. It's just a matter of not if they win, but by how much right now. And obviously Coach Saban's not going to let them get that type of cockiness, but for the most part on paper, it's going to be a while before you see a game that's decided by single digits, at least per the experts. So they're cruising right now. They're just so opportunistic in the secondary. Obviously, the load in the NFL, the talent's as good as anybody's and every unit defensively. But they just take everything to the house, and what Eddie Jackson can do in the special teams, you're looking at least a few All-Americans just on the defense and special teams alone.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, I've got to ask you about my team in the blue and orange, but I've got to ask you this. Has the odds makers lost their mind? Auburn's playing host to Arkansas Saturday and find themselves as now a 10-point favorite. Do you agree with us that Auburn will be fortunate to even win this game, much less cover 10 points?
Yeah, I think they've certainly lost their minds a little bit. I think you don't see a big spread like this quite often, but I think it just goes to show you the general public and a lot of people in the desert believe in War Eagle this year. Their defense line's been tremendous. The defense as a whole has carried their offense, and all of a sudden that offense doesn't need to score as many points with a great defense. I thought the defense could be pretty solid. I was more confident than last. But what they've done, you know, this year so far has been pretty remarkable and definitely among my top five or six surprises. And I think they're looking like an 8-win team right now. I think they've proven that so far this year with maybe the two best losses per se. Florida State, Carolina, Louisville, not bad losses, but to lose to A&M and Clemson, nothing's better than that. And the offense is, I think, can slowly improve, but the defense looks to be like a top three unit in the ACC.
Hey, give us a score real quick, Dan, before you get off that question and we move to the ACC.
Yeah, I like Auburn. I think this weekend against the Razorbacks, I think they're going to sweat it out. I think they're a little crazy with that double-digit favorite, but I think it's more like a 28-24 type of ball game, maybe a 30-28. Give me War Eagle 30-28. I think a couple Big Ten kicks from Mr. Carlson again probably played a difference. I think they got a little magic going on in Auburn. I think Jordan Harris will be rocking. I think they'll survive, but the Arkansas receivers are very lethal, and I think they'll put some points on the board, but just fall short because I think in the trenches is where Auburn wins that game.
All right.
Hey, Dan, let me throw one at you right here, kind of off the cuff here. Talking about Auburn's kicker, Carlson. Have you seen or do you know of a better kicker in college football than him?
No, not this year. He's as clutch as he gets. Obviously, Roberto Aguayo a couple years ago was pretty fantastic. You know, he struggled a little bit with the Tampa Bay Bucks. But this year, he's, I think, the heavy favorite right now for the Groves Award winner, especially if they keep winning ball games.
Hey, Dan, you mentioned Clemson. Let's jump over to the ACC real quick. And just tell us what in the world is wrong with Clemson this year. They seem to be just getting by. This past Saturday, North Carolina State had them nailed down, but couldn't connect on a straight-on field goal that Runny could have kicked. And the Tigers remain undefeated, but can they survive to make it to the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it's amazing. It almost reminds me of the 2013 Florida State team, where they really just survived and advanced. And right. I think they just don't play well with the pressure that they're doing. So the offense is kind of just doing enough. And I wouldn't be surprised if they do lose at least a game. It might be next week to Florida State. But I think the tough part is going to be, can the defense start to play a little bit better? And can they handle the ball? Because Clemson's struggling to take care of the ball. And now they're, you know, people are gunning them. So I think it's going to be difficult because they're just not used to being the hunted. They've really been the hunter, you know, pretty much the entire Dabo era. I mean, last year they were number one for pretty much the majority of the year, but this is the first year going into the offseason this past year where Clemson really had, you know, they were expected to, you know, dominate every team, and they just have not been able to do it. And you see that a little bit from that 2013 Florida State team, and it ended on a bad note for them in the Rose Bowl when they took on Oregon, Florida State. and it could happen to Clemson too this season. So I think there's a chance they're going to lose a game, but let it be known, a one-loss ACC champion is definitely going to get in. But a two-loss ACC champion, that potentially could harm Clemson. So even if they lose to Florida State next week, if they can win out, obviously they're going to win their division with the tiebreaker, beating Louisville. But they got their work cut out for them, and they're loaded on offense. It's just in the trenches, they've been buried this year. Clemson got the best of them, NC State was able to handle them. Auburn, you know, gave them big-time fits, obviously. But I think Clemson's got to wake up, have more rollouts for Deshaun Watson, because he can't really sit in that pocket and be comfortable, because they've lost some big studs from a year ago. It just goes to show you, games are still won in the trenches, even with all the spread teams and quarterbacks and so forth. Clemson's been pretty weak compared to the top 10. They've been pretty weak in the trenches, and at least on the offensive line, so that's something they got to improve. But I think they could still potentially go 11-1, beat Miami, Vitek, or Carolina in the ACC title, and get into the playoff as probably a 4 seed. But a 12-1 ACC champ still gets in.
All right. Hey, Dan, looking at the season so far to this point, which team or teams do you feel are the biggest disappointments? And on the winning side, which team has surprised you the most?
Yeah, I think Auburn, and we talked about them, I think they got to be up there in the top three for surprises for me. I think West Virginia, I mean, I thought they were 5-7, 6-16.
Yeah. Man, I'm celebrating them here. I'm dancing,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, War Eagle. You know, they've been one of the more, they've been Jekyll and Hyde. I mean, we saw them. They had the biggest turnaround since Hawaii in the history of football, obviously, in the 2013 year, to go from, I believe it was 3-9, if I'm not mistaken, right, to then national championship appearance, win 12 games was just remarkable. So they're in that top three or four. I think West Virginia needs some love, even though, side note, the Big 12's, you know, not very good, so, and they haven't really played anybody yet. But still, if you were to tell me West Virginia would be ranked number 12 in 8 points this year, I would have to, you know, check your forehead. But I think A&M deserves some love as well, though we're going to find out a little bit more about them this weekend, obviously. But, you know, they were a Jekyll and Hyde team. I thought last year was the year I picked them. I was drinking the Aggie Kool-Aid, and they've been a disappointment last year, and now they're finally living up to that a little bit this year. And it's funny how things work, because obviously someone was on the hot seat entering the year, and they put Trevor Knight's been the real deal. I thought he was going to have some issues, even though we saw what he did at Oklahoma. But, you know, this just in, SEC significantly better than the Big 12 in terms of defenses. So, and it's worked out so far for them. So that'd be my slight surprises. Disappointments quickly. Michigan State has kind of been a disaster. Let's keep it straight. I think defensively they've been horrid, and then offensively they've really had some issues putting some points on the board. And then, Stanford, I wasn't high on. I thought they'd be the biggest flop among top 10 teams, but of course they've been outperformed, if you will, as busts by their counterparts from a week ago, which was Notre Dame. And I think you mix them with LSU, Notre Dame and LSU on paper had a good chance of winning 10 plus games, and Notre Dame's looking like a 4-8 team right now, and obviously with what LSU's gone through, it's going to be difficult. They got some big games ahead where they can still maybe finish strong with Edo and go at least 8-4, but still they were a top 5 team going the year on paper, arguably. You could argue their two receivers, Malachi Dupree, Trayvon Darrell, they're going to be stars in the NFL, and it's just unfortunate that they haven't been able to put the pieces together. So those teams, and I guess a bonus would be Oregon. I thought they would be respectable, and all of a sudden they could miss the postseason as well.
Absolutely. I agree with the Oregon there, Dan. Hey, yeah. It's going to be a great weekend for football. So can you give us Dan's two or three must-see games and give us your predictions for those?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, we mentioned I like Alabama over at A&M. I got a 38-24 score, but I'm just really matched up. I'm looking for that matchup in the trenches. Deshaun Hall, Day-Day, as they call him, and Myles Garrett, they set the edge better than anybody in the country, maybe other than Alabama. They're just freaks off the edge. So I'm really looking to seeing Jalen Hurts survive pressure. He's just a monster in the red zone. He's a touchdown machine, a little bit Tebow-esque in terms of just how consistent and productive he's been, but he's been throwing the ball obviously a lot better, and he's got some great weapons at receiver and at O.J. Howard at tight end. So I'm just looking for that game on paper. That is, I think, by far the top game to watch. But Auburn and Arkansas, I think, will be a thriller where I think Carlson with a late kick, Auburn probably survives in advance. I think that's like a 30-28 ball game. And then another SEC game, LSU-Ole Miss. I think I'm very intrigued in Baton Rouge. I think the Bayou Bengals, I think, will also survive. I like the home teams in the SEC, at least for those big three games. But I think for the most part, outside of Bama, they're going to sweat it out. Auburn and LSU. I think Ole Miss and Chad Kelly will bounce back off the mat and score a lot of points. But that defense and secondary has been nicked up and dinged up really since the Florida State game where they've had some injuries. So I think the LSU offense will pick it up a little bit. And I think they're going to survive and win in a throw. I think that's going to be a back-and-forth game, like a 27-24 game. So looking forward to that one. Outside of those three big SEC games, you're probably going to see, you always see one out of nowhere. Maybe Louisville gets stunned at home by NC State, but I like Ohio State on the road at Penn State, and a couple teams have bye weeks. So I'm not really looking forward to too many big-time games. I'll be looking forward to them, but I don't really envision, you know, a crazy weekend barring those three big ones in the SEC.
Okay. Hey, Dan, I got one more question, then mm-hmm. we're going to turn it over to Jason because he's got some, I think he's got some questions he wants us to try to answer. So final question is, I think we all agree there Alabama's the number one ranked team in the country. Who do you have for your other three teams in the playoff if it were today?
Yeah, you could switch back and forth for four and five, but after Bama, I would go Ohio State two, and, you know, I'd go Michigan three, and then I'd give the slightest of edges at this moment in time to Washington over Clemson, but I've been back and forth with those two for the year. Ed Washington finishing the regular season and the championship in the Pac-12 as my number five team going the year. So I was drinking the Huskies Kool-Aid. I thought a Tennessee Vols team would surpass them, but that's gone south a little bit. But I think the Huskies, with their schedule, Pac-12, I think, has been a little bit worse than I thought, which I didn't think would be very good to begin with. But you're looking at Utah and Cal on the road as their toughest games left. They do have the Apple Cup when they host Washington State, who's been surging. Those three games that put it in, you know, terms for Alabama, that would be playing like a Vanderbilt, a Kentucky, and a Missouri on the road. So that's what Washington has. So not exactly Murderer's Row, but I got them at four over Clemson at this moment in time. And obviously the Michigan-Ohio State loser, it's going to be tough for them to still get in. It's going to be a great game in the century type of game, and they're obviously going to have to win out and be 11-0 before they face each other. So I wouldn't be too crazy if A&M stays competitive, their team, along with Louisville potentially, that could maybe get in as that fourth seed. But right now it's looking like the SEC, Big Ten, and Pac-12 champions looking like a lock at this moment to get in with the way the Huskies. They've been arguably the most impressive team in the country, not named Alabama.
Great. Thanks, Dan.
All right, Dan. I've got five questions for you and Ronnie, and mm-hmm. it's somewhere between the buy, sell, and hold we used to do and then the crazy questions I just threw out to get your opinion on. So we'll start with you, Dan. Who is the better two-loss team, Oklahoma or LSU?
Wow, I'm going to give a. I think on paper, LSU is certainly the better team. In the long run, I think it's pretty much a toss-up. But give me Oklahoma. I think in a neutral field, I probably would lean LSU. But this is really a man. If I could hold on, this might be the one I would hold for this game. But give me LSU. I'd still take down. I like their overall talent. But at the end of the year, because of the soft schedule, I think Oklahoma is probably going to finish higher. But to answer the question, give me LSU.
All right, fair enough.
I'm going to go Oklahoma. Right. For the just opposite reasons of the good ones that Dan gives. I just take Oklahoma.
All right, Ronnie, back to you. Who is the better one loss team, Florida or Houston? Now, yes, I'm leaving some teams out, but I just picked some teams that kind of
Florida or Houston. I'm going, I guess because of our roots here in the South, I'm going to go with Florida. And the reason I'm going to go with Florida is I think they are much, much better defensively than Houston. Maybe Houston's certainly better offensively. But because Florida's defense is so good, I'm going with Florida.
All right, Dan.
Yeah, I'm agreeing. I'm going to go with the Gators are significantly better defensively. You saw what Navy did. They just chewed out clock and was able to do whatever they wanted to on the ground against Houston. And I wasn't that high on Houston. I thought they'd be a top 20 team this year. And they're probably looking just around then. If they played on paper, give me the Gators all day. They would have no problem moving the ball on the ground. And I think their defense, kind of what we've seen from Alabama, could probably score on defense with Callaway, on special teams, or on defense as well.
All right, Dan, back to you. Excluding Alabama, who is the better undefeated team, Ohio State,
Clemson, Michigan, or Washington?
Wow. I think I would go with Ohio State right now. You know, I'm not saying they're going to be a lock to get in the CFP because they got a tough game with Michigan, but you're asking right now is the question, correct?
Right.
Yeah, give me the Buckeyes right now. I think they're arguably the biggest competitor for Bama, and they're just loaded in the secondary, similar to Alabama, a little bit younger, arguably. But give me the Buckeyes with JT Barrett, an experienced quarterback. Urban Meyer, maybe the only coach that can carry Nick Saban's jockstrap. So give me the Buckeyes.
All right.
Hey, I would certainly have to agree with Dan. Ohio State, for me, I think they're probably certainly other than Alabama or maybe as talented as Alabama. And they're, what, about 2 years removed from winning a national championship. Mm-hmm. So they've still got several of those cats that's still hanging around. So for me, it's Ohio State.
All right, running back to you for number four. All things considered, who sits in the best spot to make the college football playoff? Is it Washington at 6-0, Texas A&M at 6-0, or Louisville at 5-1?
Wow. I'm okay.
Now consider the road to get there,
I'm going to say Washington because of what Dan said earlier about their schedule, and they're mm-hmm. certainly sitting there, you know, they're undefeated right now. So I don't see Texas A&M getting there. I just do not.
They've got a little appointment set.
Yeah, they certainly do. So I would throw them out of the equation. So I'm going Washington.
All right, Dan.
Yeah, I'm agreeer. I'm going to go with the Huskies. It won't be easy, but I'm just loving their chances. It's amazing what Chris Peterson, he had Jared Zabransky and Kellen Moore at Boise State, who were very successful. Kellen Moore won 50 games with them. But Jake Browning is by far his best quarterback. He's only got, I believe, 2 picks, 22, 23 touchdowns, second most in the country. Their offense is borderline flawless, and they're playing some jabronis on the schedule. So I like their chances to win out right now. And obviously Louisville and A&M need a lot. And they need at least a little bit, but close to a lot to go their way. They need the runner-ups in their division, but they need Alabama and Clemson to look really good. They need too many things to go right, I think, to get them in. Washington just needs to win all their games, and they're in. So I'll take the Huskies.
Okay, back to you, Dan. This is the last one, but there is six parts to it. So. I will call out a coach's name, and you tell me, yeah. Is the coach's seat cool, warm, hot, or burning? All right, okay. Gus Malzahn, the University of Auburn.
All of a sudden, it's a little bit cooling. It's below hot, it's below burning, it's below hot, so it's that medium cool, which is not something I thought you would be discussing right now.
Right.
But it's in that medium. He's definitely probably among the top 15 hot seat coaches, but at the beginning of the year, he was top three. So he's certainly improved his stock. So I go with a happy medium. So I guess that'd be, around the cool.
All right. Ronnie?
I'm going to say cool. I agree with Dan. And especially if Auburn can beat Arkansas, and certainly if they cover that spread. His seat has been turned. His eye has been turned off, so he'd be cool.
He's got eyes on.
That's right. That's exactly right.
All right, Ronnie. Dan Mullins, the University of Mississippi State.
I think his is. I want to say hot, but I'm going to say warm. It certainly did not help when they got destroyed against Auburn, and they were absolutely atrocious. And then they backed that up with going to BYU and losing another one. So he's between warm and hot, and but I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and say warm.
All right, Dan.
Yeah, I'm going to go, just above a cool. So it's kind of like a little bit better than Gus Malzahn right now. So I'm going to go confident cool. I think it's been a rough year, obviously, but I also think that. He's going to get at least a year. Even if they go, say, 4-8, 5-7, don't go to a bowl game, I think there's a chance that, strong chance, he's going to come back next year. So, he'd prefer to win some more games to avoid, having to have a good year next year. But barring they somehow lose out, I think there's a strong chance he comes back because this is life after Dak. The expectations, obviously, were to get to a bowl game, but in my eyes, I didn't see that happening this year. So I'm going to go, a little bit of a cool, so kind of just below a warm. out of a 10, I give him like a 5.5, 6. Okay. I like his chances of coming back for next year. Next year, he could enter the year as a top 10 hot seat coach, but I'll go with, you know, a decent cool.
All right. Dan, back to you. Brian Kelly, Notre Dame.
Yeah, I'm going to go hot. It's getting close to sizzling. I think he's at a strong 8 or 9 with another tough loss to Stanford. I thought they were going to win that game. Dominated for the most part, at least had a nice, you know, not comfortable lead, but double-digit lead at halftime, and the offense just continued to kind of struggle Bus City. And it was amazing because Deshaun Kizer can still be a first-round draft pick if he leaves Notre Dame this year and enters the draft as a redshirt sophomore. 3 years post-high school, you can do that. But he's not winning. 4-8 type of year is a possibility for the Irish. I thought they were a 10-3 team, but the injuries just boggled out, and you know, continued to snowball. And the schedule, the funny part, guys, the schedule is actually not that tough. It's more times than not, people overhype the Notre Dame schedule.
Right.
You know, Army and Navy, you know, they might win 9 games, 10 games for Navy. Army's probably going to go to a bowl game first time in a while. You throw in USC, who's down, but, you know, look relevant a little bit. Vatek, these aren't unbeatable teams. Miami is, you know, a capable team, but these are not juggernaut teams they're playing, especially early up to this point. And they failed miserably. The defense, you fire their coordinator, it comes down to the head coach. You got to find ways to win these games. And it's been a big time struggle of a year. So he's getting a borderline struggle, you know, sizzling. So I think he's among, you could argue, number one right now. Maybe the hottest coach in the country right now is Brian Kelly. Just how disastrous it's gone on the last 2 or 3 weeks. And it might get worse. That's why all of a sudden I've gone from he could come back. Now all of a sudden, I mean, he's got to get to a bowl game where I think there's a decent chance he'll be looking for a new job or taking a year off.
All right.
Now, the category above hot was burning. Is that correct?
Right.
I'm saying he's burning right now.
He is burning.
I think he's toast. I think he's done. He will be out at Notre Dame.
All right. We got to speed up here, Ronnie, so we'll go into you.
Okay.
We're up against the clock. Charlie Strong, Texas.
Between warm and hot. Just depends on what he does the rest of the way.
Which one?
Okay, hot.
Hot. All right, Dan?
Yep. I'll go sizzling. Just a little bit better than Brian Kelly, but not much, and he's likely on the way out as well.
All right. Martin, forgive me if I mispronounce this last name, Dan.
You'll
Mark
get it right.
Helfrich, the
yep.
University of Oregon.
Yeah, he's sizzling, too. I think Brian Kelly, Charlie Strong, Mark Helfrich. That's probably my order. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. I think that's my. He's borderline sizzling. I mean, this Oregon defense looks like, you know, Auburn, you know, Alabama, Auburn walk-ons could dominate and play start right now for this Oregon defense. It's just like unbelievable. It's like you make a pass, there's guys streaking down the field wide open, and it's pretty remarkable. So he's sizzling. Helfrich not looking good to keep his job.
Yeah, I agree. Dan hit it right on the nose.
All right, last one, Ronnie, back to you. James Franklin, Penn State.
Warm. I'll leave it at that.
All right, Dan?
Yeah, I'll go just below that, just a cool. We'll see if they can avoid an embarrassment this week against the Buckeyes. They're still going to win 7-plus games this year, which would not be acceptable per se. But I think he's going to get at least one more year. He'll get sizzling next year, assuming they get 7-plus wins, which I think they will. But, you know, he's borderline, you know, warm. So I'll go just below that and say, you know, a decent cool. But he's one of those guys that's got to start recruiting, winning, and it starts right now. But I think he'll get a year next year. So kind of that medium, per se.
All right, Dan, man, we've used every minute of the segment. So we appreciate you joining us, and we look forward to talking to you next Thursday.
You got it, guys. Enjoy the games this weekend and have a great weekend. And thanks for having me on.
You too, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
You got it. Take
All
care.
All right. Sports Talk Live. We'll go to a break. And when we come back, get out your rod and reels. Rex Chambers will be here to do a little fishing. Sports Talk Live, 95.5. Colton.
See you walking around like it's a funeral. Not so serious, girl, why those feet cold? We just get it started.
This is Big D, the new voice of Live 95.5 from the popular Facebook page, What's Happening in Coleman, bringing you the Downtown Grill on 4th Street, where one of our many appetizers is waiting for you today. Like homemade onion rings, fried dill pickles, potato skins, and more, we also have a large selection from our salad menu to Coleman's best hot wings, from traditional to boneless wings. We also have party packs from 50 to 100 pieces. At the Downtown Grill, We will even let you build your own burger or enjoy one of our classic sandwiches, chicken, shrimp, or crawfish baskets, or our gourmet hot dogs. You can't leave without having a delicious dessert of fried Twinkies, strawberry shortcakes, or fried Oreos. For the best comfort food in Coleman, the Downtown Grill is ready to serve you.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best, so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Did you know that you can save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill? Since 2004, Cyber Broadband has been known across Coleman County as the only provider to bring broadband internet access to rural areas not served by cable or telephone providers, and all without those pesky data caps. Now, Cyber Broadband, which is a locally owned and operated company, is introducing a competitive broadband product, Cyber Next Gen DSL, available through Cyber Broadband for on average 10% less than the other providers. Get those cyber benefits, like a $10 referral discount for anyone else that you refer to the service, or bundle with the Cyber Broadband cellular service. Save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill today. More information is available at cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Not available in all areas. Generally, if you signed up for broadband service through another company and their promotional discount has expired, Cyber's retail price will be 10% less than the competition standard pricing or better. Chances are, if you don't qualify for the phone company's DSL, you won't qualify for Cyber's next-gen DSL service either, but you may still qualify for Cyber Broadband's radio service. More information is available at www.cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Woo, it's tough work, but somebody's got to do it.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of silver sneakers and silver fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
Y'all just close your eyes and imagine the fish dancing back and forth, you know, in the water.
They're hitting, they're just all over the top water right now.
All the energy and emotion from listening to CNC Music Factory.
Yeah. They have the singing fish. So I wonder, Rex, have you ever caught a singing fish?
I don't know. We got a guy that does intro music, and that's all there is.
Yeah. Hey, Rex, I'm going to just tell you a big war eagle and hope we get the win Saturday, and then I'm going to give it to Ronnie and let y'all go fishing.
I don't think there's any problem with that. Hopefully Vegas is right.
I hope so.
I think they're going to cover the spread.
I don't see it, but somebody does.
Yeah, you're right.
Rex, I'm hoping for a 7-point Auburn win. I don't want them to cover, but I want a 7-point win.
I mean, I see them winning. That's going to be a golly, my alarm went off again. That's going to be a it's going to be a good game. Really good game.
I think it will. Hey, you think Bama will cover the spread? It's up to about 17 now.
And that's amazing me.
Me too. I'm with you.
I don't see how that spread is so daggum high. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd be the first to admit Bama's got best team in the country.
Yeah.
A&M's no slouch, and I think they can score a lot of points. If anybody during the season can exploit Bama's weaknesses, it's going to be an A&M.
That's right. And, A&M, they average, it's like 40.8, 40 points a game. Bama averages about 45. So where you come up with a 17-point spread, I don't get. Of course, I didn't see Alabama beating Tennessee like they did, but you know they did. But I don't think that's not going to happen this week. I just do not believe they'll cover that spread.
Well, and that's another thing is Bama's notorious for not covering the spread.
That's correct.
And over the past few years, and I don't see it happening.
Yep, I'm with you. I don't either. I don't think Jason does. Jason does either. So
no. I'm actually on Alabama.
Okay. I take that back.
I think they cover.
You think they do cover?
Yep. I don't think it's strong, but I think.
Okay, for entertainment purposes only.
Right.
Yeah. Hey Rex, have you been on the lake the last few days? It's been still blistering hot.
I've been on the Dead Sea of Gunnersville. Today I've been sitting out in my boat in the shade and working on tackle. My boat has been a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, it's horrible, but everything is fit shined and grease pooled and in the box it's supposed to go in for the first time in a long time.
So Gunnersville is things are bad at Gunnersville then, I assume?
It is. It's kind of hard. It ain't hard to say. I can say it. You can go catch a lot of. It's just like Smith.
Yeah.
You can go catch a lot of fish. It's just the size is lacking. I mean, we boated. Had a father son from Boston, Massachusetts yesterday.
Oh.
They live 2 miles from Gillette Stadium. Big Patriots fan.
Wow.
And we fished Gunnersville for 6 hours yesterday, and I think we actually boated 24, 28 fish.
Yeah.
And we didn't have a 3-pounder in a bunch.
Wow. But they were probably tickled to death, though.
I could have won money on that bet. Now, anybody tells me they go to Gunnersville and they can catch 20-plus fish and one of them be a 3-pounder, I'll take that bet all day long.
But
by golly, we did it. I mean, we caught some 2-2.5-pounders, but big fish just weren't there.
Right. But I'm sure those guys had a ball.
Oh, they loved it. I mean, they both actually caught the biggest bass they've ever caught in their life.
Oh.
And their weight, it wasn't even 3 pounds. So, yeah, they had a good time.
Yeah, but for them, it weighed 10, you know?
Right. Well, that's what they said. They said, hey, that's a 6-pounder in Boston.
You
got a point there.
Right. Where did you, if you caught 25, 28 fish, what did you do to catch those fish, Rex?
That top water and swimmers. I mean, all you do on Gunnersville now to catch numbers is find you a grass mat with a point or an island surrounded by grass, and the grass will actually make a point, and just throw a little popper or some kind of small swim bait or even a swim jig out a little bit deeper. But like I said, we threw frogs yesterday for golly almost 3 hours trying to get a big bite.
Yeah.
And had a few blow ups but no big ones.
Yeah. So are you just not on the big fish, or are they just?
The big fish just aren't biting.
Yeah.
For some reason, we need rain, just like last week.
Right.
Have some rain. That's all there is to it.
Right. Hey, Rex.
Hopefully Thursday we get a little bit.
Yeah, I think they're giving maybe a 40% chance, something like that, 40-50.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, Rex, you mentioned, fishing top water, and you mentioned fishing a smaller, a pop R. Rex, explain that from time to time. You talk about fishing a small top water and a bait, and then at other times you're talking about fishing a large top water bait. What dictates the size of your bait that you need to be throwing?
The size of the bait is exactly what dictates the size of your bait.
I got you.
And the bait that the fish are chasing right now are very small.
Okay, why is that? Why is the bait fish they're chasing small?
Because there's no big bait around.
Okay.
I can't tell you. I mean, I don't know. But it's like on Smith. I've seen more small bait. When I say small, I'm talking under an inch long, little bitty thing.
Tiny, yeah.
Than I've ever have on Smith Lake. The big bait, for some reason, is still down deep, and I don't know why. I just think they figured out that this water temp, they can stay down longer.
Right.
And it's just, like I said, our water temp's still in the upper 70s. It'll dip down to low 70s first thing in the morning on a cool night, but
right.
By the end of the day, it's still hitting 76, 78. And
that's pretty warm.
I always say when it breaks 80 is when it's fun, but not this year.
Not this year. Just a different type, just a different year. And it's not just one lake. You said it's basically
it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
It's every lake I've been on for the past 5-6 weeks. It's just not happening. Like I said, you can go catch fish, but you're not catching the numbers of quality fish that you would usually catch in October.
Right. You think all of that will change if we can get some rain?
A lot of rain. I mean, we need some fresh water. We need some water moving.
Right.
We're not pulling any water on the river simply because we don't have any water to move.
Right.
When I was on Wilson last week, they were running one turbine. That's not a lot of water, but I mean, if they're running the right turbine, you still go catch some fish.
Right.
Smith's dropping 6-8 inches every day.
Oh.
Even on Gunnersville, when I was there Sunday, and from the time I left Sunday to the time I got back on Monday morning, they had pulled Gunnersville down, almost a foot.
Wow.
I don't know if they were anticipating rain or not, but, and that put a lot more grass, on top of the water.
So. Right.
Who knows, but man, if we get about 2 or 3 days of rain,
yeah,
or a day of rain for every 3 days for a couple of 3 weeks, boy, it sure would help.
I got you. Hey, I want to ask you a question about pulling water and at Smith specifically. Is there a limit or that they will pull the water down to, or is it just year to year? It could be anything.
Well, drought conditions, like we've had, the water is going to come down by how much water they use below, Birmingham.
Right.
They Smith Lake water is mainly used for cooling at the plants.
Right.
But I think there is some communities that get their drinking water from there as far as Jefferson and Walker. But mainly that's water is used for cooling your bigger plants and steel mills and stuff. But I know on paper, technically, Alabama Power is not supposed to let it get below 490.
Below 490, they're not supposed to.
Not supposed to. Once it gets down that low, they're supposed to ration the water out because it's not supposed to get below 490.
Okay.
But now with drought conditions, I'm sure they've got ways around it.
Right. And 510 being full pool, so you're basically
right.
Talking 20 feet below full pool.
Talking 20 feet below full, yes.
Yeah. Has it been many years since it's been down that low, Rex?
It's been several since we've actually hit the 490 mark.
Right.
I mean, I can remember, I know I flew over it in I guess it was 05, 04, 05. I took a lot of aerial photos when we hit 490.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing at the things you see flying over low water.
I bet. Phenomenal.
But I know it's been at least 10 years since we hit 490.
Great. Okay. Hey, Rex, if somebody's going to go, if they're, going to fight it and get out there and get after them, whether it be Smith, Gunnersville, doesn't matter. We'll just say Smith, with it being the closest. Catching numbers, you say, is not a problem, so if somebody's wanting to get up early one morning and go, well, what do they need to tie on? Where would they need to hunt? What would they need to look for?
Now, first thing you hunt for is your early morning topwater bite. But like I said, it hasn't been happening. Only the small ones are schooling, and they're not schooling everywhere. They're only in certain places. So a little Zaraspook Junior or a Pawpaw or a Fluke. And then after the sun gets up over the trees and the bite really gets tough, and just get around your boat houses with 8-10 foot of water on it, and a little shaggy head or a small jig, and you can put a shaggy head on and go hit brush piles and catch fish all day long. You might get lucky and get a couple of 3-pounders.
Right.
But the majority of them are, the 10 to 14 inches.
We got you. What about Gunnersville?
Gunnersville, same way.
Same thing.
A little swimmer, like a little B&M swim bait, little small 3-inch deals. I think they're called a Thunder Shad.
Okay.
Or a B&M chopstick that's similar to the Senko. You can put it weightless and just throw it in the grass and catch all the fish you want during the day. The size is still the problem.
Right.
You want to go for the big fish, you put a frog on and go with mats. And you cover miles and miles and miles, and you might run across a spot where you get 3 or 4 nice ones. But
right.
I haven't found that spot yet.
I got you. So it's a lot of work. It's going to be a lot of work involved.
It is. It is. It's a lot of hunting.
Exactly. Okay, Rex, hey, before we let you go, tell us about some tournaments that may be coming up that people might be interested in and would like to, you know, participate in.
2 weeks from Saturday will be the Coleman Autism Benefit from Smith Lake Dam. That will be probably our best event of the year for the best cause. We're going to have a big, big crowd there. Lots of volunteers will be there working. And I'm looking to have at least 100 boats show up. Guaranteeing $5,000 first place, and hopefully we'll get 200 and make some good money for the Coleman Autism Foundation.
Fantastic, great cause. If someone wants to participate in that, where do they need to go? What do they need to look for on the website? Try to find.
You can just pull my Facebook page up at Rex Chambers Fishing. There's a flyer there with all your numbers, and most folks know Mr. Wesley Sams and his dad Roger.
Yep.
Who Roger works over at Pepsi. They've gotten this thing up. Wesley has a son who's autistic, and he thought this would be a great event to get going and helping the foundation that helps the families who have autistic kids here in Coleman. And I think they're going to be pleasantly surprised at the participation and the money we raised from this thing.
Well, that'll be fantastic. Correct me if I'm not wrong, but this is the first annual?
First annual, and I promise you it's going to get bigger every year because this one's going to be a great event.
Great. Fantastic, Rex. Hey, man, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it every week, and, hey, we look forward to talking to you next Thursday. If someone wants you to take them fishing, how do they find you?
Find me on Facebook, Rex Chambers Fishing, or pull up, go directly to the website, smithlakebass.com.
There it is. Hey, Rex, thanks for joining us, man. Hey, and I hope I see you again over at the Rock House.
Yeah, y'all have a great one.
You got it, Rex. See you, buddy. All right, that's our buddy, Mr. Rex Chambers. If you want somebody to go fishing with that's a great guy and give you just a great day of fishing, please check out old Rex Chambers. He'll do you a great job. 5:47, we're going to go to a quick break, and then we're going to come back a day early and give you some picks. So
A day early. We'll be here on Wednesday.
That's exactly right, 2 days. All right, talk to you. Be back soon, 5:47. We're talking live.
That you can save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill. Since 2004, Cyber Broadband has been known across Coleman County as the only provider to bring broadband internet access to rural areas not served by cable or telephone providers, and all without those pesky data caps. Now, Cyber Broadband, which is a locally owned and operated company, is introducing a competitive broadband product, Cyber Next Gen DSL, available through Cyber Broadband for on average 10% less than the other providers. Get those cyber benefits, like a $10 referral discount for anyone else that you refer to the service, or bundle with the Cyber Broadband Cellular Service. Save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill today. More information is available at cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Not available in all areas. Generally, if you signed up for broadband service to another company and their promotional discount has expired, Cyber's retail price will be 10% less than the competition standard pricing or better. Chances are, if you don't qualify for the phone company's DSL, you won't qualify for Cyber's next-gen DSL service either, but you may still qualify for Cyber Broadband's radio service. More information is available at www.cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Woo, it's tough work, but somebody's got to do it.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba,
CardioSculpt, or DanceFit. Plus, Coleman SportsFit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman SportsFit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and SilverFit, a seniors-only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman SportsFit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
This is Big D, the new voice of Live 95.5 from the popular Facebook page, What's Happening in Coleman, bringing you the Downtown Grill on 4th Street, where one of our many appetizers is waiting for you today. Like homemade onion rings, fried dill pickles, potato skins, and more, we also have a large selection from our salad menu to Coleman's best hot wings, from traditional to boneless wings. We also have party packs from 50 to 100 pieces. At the Downtown Grill, we will even let you build your own burger or enjoy one of our classic sandwiches, chicken, shrimp, or crawfish baskets, or our gourmet hot dogs. You can't leave without having a delicious dessert of fried Twinkies, strawberry shortcakes, or fried Oreos. For the best comfort food in Coleman, the Downtown Grill is ready to serve you.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best, so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Name that artist.
Garth Brooks.
Bob Dylan.
I started to say Bob Dylan.
You should have. Well, you
know,
won.
Bob, I did.
Bob Dylan, Garth Brooks, you know. Anyway.
I started to say
Speaking
Bob
of
Dylan.
Winning, that reminds me, we've still got golf to give away.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Little things to do.
A little late now.
We won't have time today, but we'll give it away.
And remember, next month, Tuesday. I got more Elvis tickets to give away.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Jay, will we be at the grill Tuesday?
Yes, we will be at the grill Tuesday.
It'll be
Thursday.
Yeah. Thursday
not
of next week.
Of next week before we can give away any golf.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Let's pick some games right now.
All right. High school games, Jason. I'll start with those, and if you have
some college,
you have some college games, we'll go from there. Give me that pin it right. Thank you. Coleman at Brewer.
Oh, Coleman wins this one big. I'm going to say, let's pick a score since we got enough time.
Right.
I'm going to say 36-7.
36-7. I'm also going with Coleman, but I'm going to go higher than that. I'm going to say it's going to be 56-10.
Oh, I hear you.
Cold Springs at Cleveland.
Cold Springs at Cleveland. I don't know anything about Cleveland. Cold Springs wins this one 27-20.
27-20. I'm also taking Cold Springs. I think they will win 28-14. Holly Pond at Vinemont.
Holly Pond keeps their winning ways going. They win this one 30-27.
30-27. I'm also going with Holly Pond. I like that score, but I'm going to go 30-28.
Fair enough.
I like that score. Now, Hansville does not play. They're off this week. Good Hope at Dora.
Good Hope at Dora. This one could be ugly early. Dora wins it 42-6.
42-6. I'm also going with Dora, but I'm going to say it's going to be 28-14. That's going to be my hourly. Right. I picked that with Cold Springs, too. West Point and Curry.
West Point will win this one going away 34-3.
West Point over Curry. I'm going 17-14 West Point. 17-14 West Point. Fairview playing Springville. And Jason, let me, before you make that pick, let me remind folks, they will be playing at Dafford Smith Stadium at Fairview. This is the first game they've been able to play in about 2 years. So Friday night, Fairview High School will be playing at home. It is also senior night, I believe. So what a great,
Get back for the seniors.
Great get back for the seniors. So Fairview will be playing at home this Friday night. All right, who you got? Fairview, Springville.
I'm going Springville
23-16.
I'm going to go Fairview. First game at home in a while, senior night. I think it's going to be a big night for the Aggies. I think Fairview wins 42-16. Those are our high school picks. Again, we both got Coleman. We've both got Cleveland. We've got Holly Pond over Vinemont. We both got Dora over Good Hope. We both have Westbourne over Curry. And we're split with Fairview and Springville. Jason having Springville, and I have Fairview.
All right. All moving right, to the college scene, this is where everybody gets
it. That's exactly right. Absolutely. Are we giving scores? Or are we just
scores.
Okay, all right.
Indiana, Northwestern.
Indiana, Northwestern. I'm taking Indiana 24-17.
All right. I'm also going to take Indiana, and I'm going 27-21. All right. Oklahoma, Texas Tech.
I'm taking Oklahoma. Oklahoma, big. I say big. I'm going to say 38-13.
All right. I'm going also with Oklahoma. And I agree with you, going to be big. I'm going to say 41-17. Memphis and Navy.
Ooh.
Memphis a 2.5 point favorite.
I knew it had to be close. Okay, then I'll go Memphis 21-19.
All right, I'm going Memphis also 20. I like your score this time, right?
Okay.
23-20.
All right.
All right, Mississippi State, Kentucky.
Kentucky.
And I like the way you think.
I'm taking Kentucky. I think it's going to be close. It's not going to be a lot of points. I say Kentucky wins
16-13. I'm also going with Kentucky 20-13. Ole Miss and LSU.
I'm going Ole Miss. I think it'll be reasonably close. Ole Miss scores a lot of points. I think Ole Miss wins 32-28.
And if you had not picked Ole Miss, I would pick them. But just to be different.
Just to be different,
I'm
okay.
I'm going LSU, and I'm going to say 20-17.
All right.
Texas A&M and Alabama.
Alabama. I do not think they cover the spread, but I think Bama wins 38-24.
All right. I'm also going Alabama. I think they cover the spread, no problem, 48-20.
Woo.
Arkansas and Auburn.
I know you're going to take Auburn. No question. So I'm going to take Arkansas.
All right.
I say Arkansas wins 28-22. Just to be different.
I will go with the Tigers, and I'm going to say 30-24.
You don't want it to be over 10 right?
Points. Yep.
For entertainment
if you
purposes.
Hear, if Auburn beats over 10,
yeah.
You will hear screaming all over Coleman County. All right, Ray. Hope you and Jay are not going together. Don't make it sound that way.
No.
You and your family have a good time.
Thank you.
You and yours have a good time.
Need some time off.
That's right.
Enjoy the beach.
Carrying the sticks and going to play some golf.
Hey, right? I'll be holding the fort down here.
You'll do it. I've got all the confidence in the world in you.
If you're listening to us Thursday, we'll see you Tuesday. If you're listening to us today, we'll see you Thursday.
That's exactly right.
Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Big War Eagle.
And a big old road tide.